Amen. Hallelujah. So did you get there? 2 Peter and 1st chapter and verse 12 and 13. It says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to do what? Put you always in remembrance of these things. What? The things that he just spoke about at the beginning of the chapter. Though you what? You know them. And be what? Be established in the present truth. That means it's working in your life. But he still says by the Holy Ghost here, he's to put us in remembrance. Even though we know them and they're working. So what that means is you don't go, yeah, I know that already. Right? So verse 13, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to do what? Stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So we're going to put some things in remembrance this evening and stir your heart up. We're not to live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that's what we're to do. We're to feed on the Word of God. Now let's back up to Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must what? He must believe that he is, and he's what? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. I like this. This is the Jordan translation. It says, without living by the unseen. I like that. It's impossible to get such approval, for anyone who is serious about the God life must stake everything on the fact that God is and that he amply rewards those who make him their quest. That means we're seeking after him and he rewards us. But we got to believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. And 2 Corinthians 5:7, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians, you're not familiar with that scripture. We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Now think about that. For the Spirit of God to inspire Paul to write that, for God to inspire him to write that, that must mean there's some walking by what? Sight and not by faith. So we're going to look at some examples of that. Some of the other translations, it says, for we are walking by faith, not by seeing. That's the basic translation. The NIV, it says, for we live by faith, not by sight. So we have a choice to make. We have a choice of whether we're going to walk by faith or we're going to walk by sight. What we see, what we taste, what we feel. Are we going to make a choice to go that way, or are we going to walk by faith, the Word of God? And when it says walking, if you look that up, it just means to regulate one's life, every area of our life, how you conduct your life. So you're going to have a choice to make. And so this means every area of our life. It means our thoughts, it means our speech, it means you know, all the conditions in our life, we walk, all the activities, everything we do, we're to do what? We're to walk by faith and not what we see, not the conditions that we're confronted, not the mountains. We're not to look at those. We're to consider, or not to consider the mountains, but we're to consider God. He is no respecter of persons. We walk by the Word of God, by faith. Hallelujah. So let's turn, as we do this, let's turn over to John, and let's look at John chapter 20. And let's start in verse 24. This is about Thomas. So many of us in this room have had opportunities to consider what we see and not faith. We have a choice. When it hits you, you got a choice to make at that point. What are you going to consider? My word or what you see? So verse 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except, right? See what he says? Except I see, what did he say? I what? I see. You need to circle that if you haven't. See in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. So something he might what? Feel. So you could say he wanted to see and feel something, right? But what does he say here? He didn't say he couldn't, right? He said, I will not believe. That's pretty strong. He didn't say, I couldn't believe. He said, I'm making a choice. I will not believe. Right? So you can see here that then Jesus continued, and it says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then what did he do? He said to who? He went right to Thomas, right? Reach hither thy what? Thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not what? Faithless. But what? Believing. So if somebody said you were faithless, that would mean there'd be no faith. Right? The NIV, in verse 27, where we are in the NIV, it says, stop doubting and believe. You know, we talk about be not a doubter but a believer. The Norley translation, it says, do not be a doubter but a believer. So every one of us, it talks about in Romans chapter 12, when it talks about be not conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you go down in verse 3, it says everyone has what? Received a measure of what? Faith. So everyone has the ability to have faith and believe. So here, you can see here, when he said, be not faithless, that's not a good testimony, is it? So here, and faithless, well, let's put it this way. Thomas did believe, didn't he? He believed in something he could what? See, and something that he could feel. So he did believe. It was natural, wasn't it? It was something natural, as far as natural believing, something he saw, something he could touch, but it wasn't the God kind of faith, was it? And I think when Jesus talks about, when he said, be not faithless, he wasn't talking about natural faith or natural believing. He was talking about the God kind of faith, faith that changes something, right? So there is a natural faith or a natural believing, and then there's the God kind of faith. When it talks about stop doubting, turn over, it had me thinking about Mark 11. Go over to Mark 11 for a second and look at verse 22 and 23. And it says, Jesus answering saith unto them, and this is Peter calling him to remembrance of the fig tree that he cursed. He said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. What kind of faith is that? Something that changes something. And he said, verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and look at this, and do what? Shall not what? Doubt. That was the word that came up, doubt. Don't doubt in your heart, but be faith. Don't be faithless, but be full of faith. And he got done right here. This is how you have the God kind of faith. Don't doubt in your heart. Don't be faithless. Don't be a doubter. Be a believer, right? And that's what Jesus was saying, that you don't want to have, you don't want to be somebody who is faithless. So turn over. I want to look at this story here in, I think it's Matthew 14. And let's look at verse 22. These are all stories here for our benefit. Of disciple, the disciples who had an opportunity to be faithless or believing. This is a great story. And straightway, Jesus did what? He constrained his disciples to do what? Get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, what? Tossed with waves. Now, how many have ever been on a ship or a small boat and is being tossed around? Any of you ever been in something a little bit? Some of you have, some of you. So this, you can relate to this, can't you? I've been in some situations where things have been tossed around. And so you get an idea of what tossed means. This wasn't just a little sway here. I'm talking about this thing was might have been taken on water. It was tossed, right? So this says here, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I love the King James. It really just kind of, it's so eloquent. It doesn't really give you a full picture here of what was going on. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, what? Walking on the water. So think about this. He's walking on the water, right? So if this is waves and it's tossing the ship, he wasn't walking through, right? It said he was walking on the top of the water. So that must have been a sight, wasn't it? So, and when the disciples did what? They saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they did what? They cried out for what? Fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do what? Be not afraid. Fear. Don't fear. Fear for what? Fear that they thought he was a spirit, but don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me come, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee, what? On the water. He didn't say maybe. He said, bid me come. And he said what? Come. I'm going to show you, I'm going to want you to see something here. This is a wonderful revelation here. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, see, can you imagine it, how many in here said they were in a ship or a boat bouncing around? How would you have liked to try to get out of it? Would you think that had been that easy? I'm telling you, I've been in some things and I'm thinking, how the heck would you get out of this thing? And if anybody, how many have been to Israel and been on some of the boats they have out there? If this was a fishing boat, it wasn't a rowboat, right? So this was a, he said what? He didn't say boat, he said it was a ship. So how the heck did he get out of this thing, right? With waves. That must have been a sight. And this thing was rocking and so forth. So he gets what? He gets down out of the ship, and he did what? He walked on the water. Now, I want you to stop and think about this a second. It said he did what? He walked on the water. Well, we know it wasn't the water that supported him. You know how you know? Because the minute he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he did, then he wouldn't have sunk if it was the water holding him up. Isn't that right? If it was the water holding him up, then the minute he took his eyes off Jesus and put his eyes on the waves, it would have still held him up. So we know it wasn't the water, it was the Word. Who told him to come? He is the Word. And that Word, when he responded to it, supported him, held him up. Hope you get some insight into that. So he got down out, and it says, but when he took his eyes off, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. And what? Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him. And of course, we know he had to have been a distance away because he said, do what? Walk to me. Come to me. So he wasn't next to the ship. He walked on the water to him. So even Jesus immediately reaching out, there had to have been some kind of translation there of him moving quickly to catch him, right? And it said here, and caught him and said, O thou of what? Little faith, wherefore didst thou what? Doubt. Hallelujah. No doubting, just believing. So, what do I want here? Verse 20. Yeah. Yeah, so he said here in verse 27, be of good cheer and what? Be not afraid. So the Lord is really saying walk by faith and not by sight. If we walk by sight, you're operating in fear. You will operate in fear when you operate by sight. So when we stay free of fear in your life, you will stay free of the curse operating in your life. Every one of us have had opportunities, situations come in our life, and we have to make a choice. It looks overwhelming. If we begin to worry, you're getting over into fear. If you get over into anxiousness, you're in fear. What did God say to you? If he gave you some instructions and some opposition comes, and you begin to fear or worry, how is this going to happen? How is this going to come to pass? You begin to get over into fear. He said, what did he say? Be not faithless, but believing. I know for me, there's been opportunities, I can't say in every single time, fear will grip you, worry will grip your mind, it will grip your senses. And the Word of God, what does it say? We're not walking by sight, but we're walking by what? Faith. So faith has to be the thing that supersedes. Well, think of it this way. Can you see peace? No. So you have to accept it by faith. Can you see healing? No. So conditions are going to come that will disrupt your peace. What did Jesus say? He said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, giveth I unto you. Let your heart be not troubled, neither let it be afraid. So you can't let your heart be troubled. You can't see peace. But it's faith. See, people want to walk in peace. They want something that makes them feel peace. But we're not to walk by what we feel, but by what we believe. And it's the believing that gives us access into this grace. And once faith is released, the peace of God, the grace of peace, will come into our life, and then we may it's going to affect us in the natural realm. It'll affect us in our heart, but it'll affect us in the natural. But folks want peace, and they're not operating in faith, right? They're moved by what they see. So we're continually confronted with choices, continually confronted with things that are going to disrupt your choices, get you off of believing, and get you over into doubting. How is this going to happen? I don't see how this is going to happen. I don't see how this could possibly come to pass. There's a lot of things that go on in our personal lives and things in this ministry that say, this will never happen. You will never get this. You will never reach this. You will not. Yes, we will. I like what Pastor Hagen says. I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. And when everything looks like, somebody was telling me recently, we had two fellows, you may have seen me with them, Anthony Washington and Cody. Anthony is one of the singers with the Crusade team. And he talked to me last February, I think it was. He said, hey, I think I'm coming out to the Eddie James. And I said, sure, come on out. We'll hook you up. So he came and he brought his friend, and they were blessed. But he was sharing with me, he said, you know, a lot of people, after Brother Hagen passed away, they had about two-thirds of their income just went away. People left. They didn't want to stay there anymore. And he said a lot of people told Pastor Hagen they should have never continued the ministry. Ha! That's all of Job's friends. Come and tell you, you should have never continued. And that's why his mantra is, I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. So when your friends tell you, you need to give up, you need to die, you need to quit, I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. That's not in my vocabulary. We're not to be moved by what our friends say. We're to be moved by what God says. Hallelujah. I know recently we were in a leadership meeting, and one of the leaders said, you know, we were praying, and the Lord said to us that they were just sharing. We can receive it or not, but it sure bore witness with me and Pastor Greg. But he said, we were in prayer, and the Holy Spirit said to us, for all of us to judge, that much seed has been planted by this ministry, spiritual seed, and there's a harvest due, and we're to call that harvest in. What is that harvest? People. People. And he said, there's been a lot of financial seed planted by this ministry all these 35 years, 36 years, and there's a harvest due, and you're to call it in. Not wait for it, call it in. Now, it bore witness with me because that's exactly what Kenneth Copeland said to Pastor Clinton 30-some years ago, before they went to Bible school. He said to him, the people will come and the money will come. It's the same word. And so, I don't care what it looks like, our confession is, and my belief in my heart is, the people will come and the money will come, and we're speaking it, and it's going to be bigger and greater, because that's the other thing. The Holy Ghost spoke to Pastor Sarah and said it took 20 plus years to build the foundation because of what this ministry is going to have to support. And so whether any of us see it, we're all a part of the process of building God's dream and his plan. And so we're to operate by faith and not by sight. To me, these words come are no different than the people will come and the money will come. It's a word from God. And we're not to be moved by waves and conditions and stuff that comes and marches in your door or whatever and disrupts things. God said, this is the deal. Believe me. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. Continue to believe and not be faithless. And the same thing goes for you all. That if God's put a dream in your heart and giving you some directions, don't be moved, don't be tossed by conditions. What did Annie Durant share when she was here? She said, when you set, I love what that example the Holy Spirit gave her. She said, when you set your GPS, you set a destination. And you set it, and you begin to navigate. And she said, as long as you follow the GPS, you will get to your destination. There may be some detours because of conditions on the road, but it's going to get you to your destination. Just don't get off that destination. And so the same thing with us. If God says healing, the destination is healing. Don't get off of that. Conditions may come. You may have to go to the doctor. You may have this. You may have to have an operation. Don't let go. Go keep that destination in mind. Don't be faithless. Don't be doubting. Don't doubt because of the conditions. The conditions don't change the destination. That's all that Annie was sharing when she was here regarding healing. Your conditions don't affect the destination as long as you don't get off, right? So let's turn for a moment. Let's go over to, we're right here in Matthew 14. Look at Matthew 15. And verse 21 says here, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he did what? He didn't even answer her. How would you like that? And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. In other words, she's coming along seeking him. He's not really even entertaining this, is he? You could call this in some ways, she was getting some opposition here. Right? And she kept doing what? Pursuing the Lord. And he said, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou what? As thou wilt, as you've determined, as you've believed. Hallelujah. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So she didn't give up. She didn't let go. She didn't let the conditions or his reaction to her She didn't let that move her. She kept believing. Hallelujah. Let's turn for a few minutes. Let's go over to Numbers. Let's look at Numbers here. Numbers 13. And let's look at this account here with Moses and the spies that went into the promised land. So let's look at verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," so who's speaking here? The Lord, right? He's speaking unto Moses. "And the Lord said, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan," which what? "I give unto the children of Israel." So that it's already their land. "Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the command of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." Now jump over to verse 17. "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many." God never told him to do that. He just said, "Go in to the land that I give you." He never told them, "Check it out and see whether they be strong or weak or few or many." And the rest of this, verse 19, 20, he didn't tell them. "And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad," he didn't tell them. He didn't give them those instructions. "And what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes." And so you can see here, let's jump down to verse 25, "And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And 26, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back" what? "Word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless," or you could say, "but, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great," and so they're going to go on and tell you all of the buts, and the reasons why they can't take the land, based on what? Something that they what? Saw. Something they see, and not what God said. He said, "I give you this land. I've already given it to you." And so they continue down, but look at what, look at verse 30. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it." He didn't care about all of this stuff. He said, "It's ours. Let's possess it. And we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we see in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and what? So we were in their sight." My God. So when God gives instructions, and not even when he says something, that's the word of the Lord. You know, I'm so, what's the word I want to say? Pastor Clinton used to say it, like a, and Brother Hagin would say, I'm like a dog with a bowl of burgers, like, you're not getting off it. It's my pan. It's my bowl. And when God spoke to this ministry through Dr. Price and said, you're not going to stay here in this building because of the people that I'm sending here. He said, further said, Dr. Price, you could stay here if you want, but I won't be in it. So we need to have a mindset that this is just a place that we dwell in now. We're going to move somewhere. And God has people that he wants to reach that it's going to take faith to get there. And we can't operate by what we see or what we hear or conditions or mountains that may be put in front of you. He said, you can have it, take it by faith. And the first place is you have to operate with your mouth. In other words, what did they do? They brought back a word unto Moses. It was an evil report. So even though we haven't moved, our good report is that we have that place. We own that place. That's our home. And that we have the perfect buyer and the money to own it. And so it will come to pass. And you know what? It's no different. Brother Copeland, when he was here in, I think it was 85 or 87, somewhere around there, he had a prophecy that said something to the effect that you think that that church in Seoul, Korea is so big. He said, I'll do that here if you will let me. He said, don't seek the biggest church. Just seek me. Seek Jesus. And so God has a plan. And so we are to do what? We have to walk by faith and not by sight. That's the same thing. God has a purpose and a plan in each one of your lives. And so to reach that destination, that place, that fulfillment, it's going to take faith to get there. And so God wants to do exceeding abundantly above what you could even ask or think in your life. It's like Eddie James. How many people would say, boy, I'd love to be doing what he's doing. I'd love to be able to touch and reach all the people he's doing. He didn't set out to do that. You heard him say that. I didn't set out to have this worldwide ministry. He said, I just started where I was, helping one child after another. And he said, I just thought I would just write music and help kids and do whatever, you see. He never set out to do this. He didn't have that aspiration. And so we have to just trust God in the steps that he gives us. Sometimes he's not going to show you everything. He's going to say, go over here. And it's on the way to this place. And so he just says, go over there. Well, I don't want to go over there. Well, guess what? If you don't go over there, you won't reach the destination that God has for you. You've got to just take the steps he gives you and walk by faith. I'm thinking about myself when he said, quit my job. And I said, I heard his voice. And I said, okay. And people at the job, you know, I'd been there a while and had a good job. And you know, I remember vice presidents and managers said, well, what are you going to do there? I said, I don't know, but God told me to go. Well, you know, if you ever want to come back, you've got a place to come and blah, 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 blah. I said, I won't be back. I won't be back. Thank you. Appreciate that. But I won't be back. Because I knew. And so you just got to know that God told you and go. And that's it. And he'll work out all the rest. But be not faithless. Know that the God that's directing your steps is the one directing, and be not don't doubt, but believing. Believe. Amen? Glory to God. I mean, I don't know what it is you all are believing for, but, you know, every one of us are believing for things. And I like what, you know, Eddie James said, you know, we all need to go into the areas we're in and affect the world we're living in. And sometimes God will have us do some things. It could be just something to make money, to help. It could be, you know, do something here to assist in the ministry. You know, one of the things I find is that it was interesting. You know, when I was working with, when we had the school here, I loved working with the children. And from not in the classroom, but whenever they did productions or plays, I would bring up the children and record them. And we would read scripts and so forth. So I would work with them to record parts for productions. And I got to tell you, some of these kids, there were absolute gems in the making. I could see the potential in some of these kids. It was just wonderful. I mean, I'm thinking of one girl right now. I don't know. I know I see her here in the county. But she had this gift to read poetry that was just phenomenal. The way she could articulate, the way she could speak. And this is a person that wasn't even in high school. She was in grade school. And you saw that. Now, is that nurtured? Is that developed? I don't know. But I absolutely loved working with the children to see the potential in these kids. And so we, you know, when we're doing things, he may have you doing things that, well, I don't want to get sidetracked, but my point in making all of that, my point in making this point was that in serving, sometimes we think getting an education, nothing wrong with that, I'm going to find my purpose. This is what I think I want to do. That's what I did. I went to college. I thought I was going down this path, right? I'm going to do this. Only to find out and be doing it. And it's like sawdust. It's like, I don't like this. You understand my point? And so it wasn't until God got me out of secular work, over into ministry and serving, that I found my true purpose. And so sometimes you working, not telling anybody to quit their secular job or their job that they're doing, but sometimes when you come in and serve in the church while you're working, sometimes God will reveal to you a purpose for you, the real purpose. And it's in your serving him in the local church that some of us find our real purpose. And I hope, because I know for me, that's what happened to me. In serving, I found my purpose. Now, he used all the things that I learned. He used all of that. But I found my purpose. And so I find that, you know, as we're walking this walk of faith, God's going to walk us down some paths that we think are goofy or crazy, but we will find our purpose in that. He'll show us. And so sometimes we just have to take some steps of faith. It's uncomfortable. It's not comfortable in some of the things he asks us to do. It's I know for me, man, I had some mental battles going through some of these things. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going, but boy, this, whew, you know, you take it, whew, okay, all right, okay, we're going. And you're hoping Boy, this ain't going to be a flop here. But it didn't flop. It didn't flop. The minute it was like, boom, the minute I took the step, things, it was like, oh, okay, I see, got it. And you look back and say, boy, if I hadn't done what he told me, it would have been a mess. I'd have been miserable. I wouldn't have reached this place that I'm at now. So every one of you that's, you know, wrestling with decisions, just do it. Just do it. And you'll see. You'll look back 2 years from now and say, thank you. Thank you. Don't be moved by what you see. Amen? And that goes the same way, whether it's making a job transition, a life transition. He may ask you to give some money. And I mean, times that I had to wrestle. I remember one time, I won't use their name, but they came here, they were visiting, they came out of this ministry, they were visiting, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, I mean, I just heard him down here. He said, I want you to give them X amount of money. I said, okay. Now, he's not going to ask you to do something that you don't have. I had it in the bank, and it was a good amount of money. And I said, okay. But I didn't want to do something emotional. They were going to be here for a couple days, so I waited. I just waited on the Lord. I didn't just jump on it. And I waited. And so the day they were leaving, I approached this person. I said, hey, you know, the Lord spoke to me, and I want to sow this into your ministry. They didn't. There was no response. Well, praise the Lord. All right. So I wrote it out, gave it to them. I thought nothing of it. I did what I was supposed to do. About a month to 2 months later, I get a letter from them saying, you have no idea what you did. Our ministry was running in the red, and you got us out of the red into the black. And I went, whoa. And they were struggling. They were having a hard time. And it was like God answered a prayer for them that they were like, thank you, Jesus. They were crying out to God for help. See? So just do what he says. That's all. And I'm telling you, this walk of faith is a wonderful thing. And we always don't make it all the time. Sometimes we make a mistake. So you know what? You get up, dust off, and say, you know what? Okay, Lord, I missed it there. Keep moving forward. Amen. Praise God.